We're going to chat a bit of athletics there at Tokyo because our man Dave Colbert of Channel 7 is waiting by. G'day, Dave.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
How you doing, Dave? And now, Dave, of course, made the final of the 1992 long jump in Barcelona, Olympian, two-time silver medalist at the Commonwealth Games. What's caught your eye so far, Dave?
Well, Carson Warholm this afternoon's caught my eye. That's for sure. The 400-metre hurdles broke the world record by a massive margin, and Bruce described it as one of the greatest Olympic performances of all time. I think Bruce knows a bit about what's going on, so I think he's right. It's up there with Bob Beamon, Bolt, and Michael Johnson, what he did. I know it's a very athletics thing, and most of your listeners probably never heard of Carsten Warholm of Norway, but he smashed the world record. The first eight people in the race set the fastest times for their particular place. So fastest for first, fastest for second, fastest for seventh, fastest for eighth ever in an Olympic final. It was off the charts. So that was that got us up and about. Yeah. There's been a bit going on at the athletics, so we've been loving every second of it.
So, Dave, we had Tamsin on yesterday talking about the crowds and the effect some athletes would rise having a crowd there. Could it be the opposite as well? Some athletes are just really focused and then actually with no crowd there, they're going better.
I don't have any doubt that that is the case for some. I think for most of the athletes now, they're used to it. You know, they've had the best part of 18 months of competing in front of no one. So, you know, when it first started happening, and Warholm's he loves the show. So he'd be an example of an athlete who absolutely loves the crowd. A lot of the field event athletes, you know, the long jumpers, et cetera, who stand on the runway and want the crowd to clap for them, et cetera, we've seen a little bit of that, and the athletes aren't getting much response back because it's only, you know, coaches and staff of other athletes that are sitting in the stand. So, it's incredible, really, that the athletes are able to perform at the level that they're performing at with no one in the stands. And I guess that's what, you know, once every, in this case, 5 years situation with the Olympics does, that they're racing for those Olympic medals. So the fact that there's no one in the stands, they're putting to one side and getting on with it. It's amazing, really.
So, Dave, just on this race of Warholm, Dos Santos, the Brazilian, runs third. Now, he runs it in a time of 46.72. The world record is 46.70. Yes. Now, the reason I bring that up is the context is he's about 7 metres behind Warholm and almost Benjamin as well. So essentially, he's beaten the world record by a good 7 metres. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yep. So, and he beat the old world, you know, not even six months ago, because Warholm broke Kevin Young's world record, which was set in 1992 at the Olympic Games, when I was in that long jump final. So we were out on the long jump pit as Kevin Young went down the back straight to break that world record. And Ryan Benjamin, who's come second, he's absolutely obliterated the new world record.
Yeah.
Finished second. No, staggering race, and it's worth watching. I'll tell you what, executing a skill at the highest level is not easy, as we know, whether it's in diving or it's a track cyclist or it's, you know, NRL, AFL, whatever it might be. Warholm, he produced perfection today. He rarely gets it wrong. It's a difficult event, the 400 hurdles. You've got to get your stride pattern 100% right, and he was extraordinary. So that's the number one thing I've seen. I've seen a long jump competition that had two guys jump exactly the same distance. I've seen a high jump competition that they haven't been able to separate anyone after, you know, jumping all the way up to 239. And I've seen some fantastic Australian performances, including 9 personal bests. And we saw some rippers today with Kelsey Lee Barber, our world champion in the javelin, who first 2 throws. She went from last to third in her last throw, and she was almost out. 1 throw away from being out of the final. And she produced her season's best to make it through, and all of a sudden she's a chance for a medal. Amazing.
Yeah. What about Brooke Stratton in the long jump? Now, I've got a question. Is the sand legit sand from a beach? what sort of sand is that?
Well, the sand's no good.
No.
The sand's no good. And as someone pointed out to me today, why are the long jumpers jumping into mud, but the beach volleyballers look like they're at Bondi?
Yeah.
So this is a significant issue, and I'm glad you raised it because I've been banging on about it for 4 days. Apparently, there's a lot of volcanoes in Japan, and so their dirt is made up primarily of volcanic eruption, so stuff that's come out of volcanoes. So their beach sand is black.
You're right. And apparently, so it's lava. They're jumping into the lava.
Pretty much. So apparently it's quite nice to land in, But I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
No.
It's nasty looking stuff.
Aesthetically, nasty. it doesn't come across good.
No, it's terrible. They've done a lot of things right, the Japanese, but they've buggered up the sand. There's no doubt about that.
And how will Brooke go? She a chance?
Well, she was on. She's done.
Oh, she's done.
She was on today. Yeah, and the good news is
there
that she finished finished seventh in the final. But that is good news because she's had all sorts of trouble in the lead up.
Yeah, it's the sand. That's why. If she was jumping in a proper sand, she would have got a medal.
Yeah, no, she should be really proud with how she went in that event because she has hardly been able to train. She had a series of cortisone injections in both knees. She had iliotibia band issues. She had all sorts of problems and could hardly train. And to be able to qualify for the final and then come back and be able to do what she did today was really good. So, she had a great result.
Have you got a tip in the... I was going to say, have you got a tip in the men's 100-metre final? No, I'm only joking.
That's been done.
Yeah, Dave, just on the high jump, you mentioned that. And what do you make of that, the idea they split the gold? People back very, very torn.
Yeah, no, people are torn. I don't mind it, and I'll tell you why. Here are two guys in this competition that have both gone through horrific injuries. Both of them had virtually career-ending ankle injuries. Tambiri missed Rio. Barsham missed a couple of seasons and managed to come back in 2019 and win the world title. They both had extraordinary competitions. They cleared every height on their first attempt all the way up to 239. So they had a miss. So it couldn't be split on the two ways that you do a count back. So it's not as though they just handed them the medal straight off. Do the first count back, what did you clear the last height on? Both of them did their first attempt. Then you go to the next count back, which 99% of the time will determine a winner. How many misses have you had in the competition? So they haven't had a miss. Mm. And then they ask, and they don't even know the rule themselves because it's only relatively recent. First time in really an amazing sentence that's been used. Can we share the gold medal? Okay, we will. So there's nothing manufactured there. They didn't try and, orchestrate a result. So I'm okay with it. Having said that, I reckon they will bin the jump off and they'll just end up with this rule that if you can't split them by the two tiebreak methods, you share the gold medal. So I can understand why people think it's a bit strange, but in this instance, I reckon they both deserve to be the gold medalists.
I like the idea, Fletch, of go back to the height you last cleared. And both just keep going.
That's the jump off.
Oh, right.
That is the jump off. That's normally what happens. You're before your time.
Yeah. But I mean,
why did they change it for this?
That's the normal way it goes.
Why did they change it, Dave, for this Olympics?
Yeah, well, it's not just for this. It's about 5 years, but they haven't used it. So none of the athletes are really right across. I don't know. It's the reason why they haven't done it is because a lot of these competitions go for a long time. The athletes are tired, and sometimes it can be an anticlimax. But what they do is they go back to the previous height. So they would have gone to 237, one attempt each. If they both miss it, they go down. If they both get it, they go back up.
Yep.
And it just goes up so Steve Hooker won his Olympic gold medal in Beijing in a jump off. And they had three or four jumps. And it was, it was enthralling stuff. But no, I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
They seem, the track and field athletes seem to be more friendly with each other than, say, the swimmers. There seems to be a lot more rivalry in the pool. Is that a fair assumption?
No, I reckon some of them had each other. Did you see the two Jamaican women in the 100 metres? Mm. There was some dagger eyes going on there. I think it's probably just... you probably don't see the camaraderie in the swimming as much because you don't linger around, on the track afterwards. They swim, they finish in their lane, they've got to stay in the lane, they get out, they walk off. So, look, there's a lot of respect at this level, but, like anything, it's elite sport. There's you like some of them and you absolutely can't stand some of the others. So
it's like the workplace.
Stock standard.
It's like the workplace currently in here. Yeah. Well, just give it to me about Paul Brooke.
Bruce.
Yeah. Bruce has his moments. I tend to agree.
Oh, no. Yeah, come on, Bruce. You're too, he's always so excited and turns and I give it to him all the time. Anyway.
Hey, Dave, we have been fascinated, so to our listeners, on the Pete Bowles story. If you had to really put it all on the line, where do you have him placed in this final tomorrow night?
He's not the favourite. I think the Kenyan's probably the favourite. Nigel Amos is a enigmatic guy and managed to get in the final. He had some issues in his semi, so he's been at it. So that's not ideal. It's an extra person to get around. There's a couple of others that are a chance, but you know what? He can win. He can win. He could finish eighth, but he can win. And it'll depend on how the race is run. And he's good tactically. He's got to stay out of trouble. But the other thing is he doesn't mind it being aggressive. So if he can, it'd be nice if he had someone in front of him that he can follow around. So a bit of a pacemaker. Sit out, you know, one out, one back. It's not quite the death like it is in a harness racing. It's not bad to be in that situation. You need an escape route.
Mm.
So he can be right in it. He probably doesn't have the blistering last 150 that some of the other guys do. But if the pace is on, they might not be able to get to use that asset. So he's right in it, and it's very exciting, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've got him. If he wins the gold, we've got him with the flag at the closing ceremony. Have you got an early pick as to who might be taking that flag in the closing ceremony?
Well, the tough thing with that is who's left.
Yeah, that's
who's
right.
Still here, because the rules are, you know, most of the swimmers are back home. They've already arrived back in Darwin to do their hotel quarantine. You know, I don't think someone like Andrew Hoyle will still be there. It's basically, you know, what is it, Sunday night, the closing ceremony. So you've got a fair bit to go before you get there. I'm not sure if they'll do it in that same way. Don't know. It might be only someone who's, you know, in the last couple of days, maybe one of the, hopefully the Kookaburras are in the final. They can send out the whole Boomers if they win the gold medal, can't they? All of them.
Yeah.
They can all go out there and carry.
Absolutely.
Be happy with that.
So, Dave, Peter Bowles paying $8.
Get onto it.
Get on.
Yes.
Each way?
No.
Do we have each way?
We don't have each way.
Just win only.
Amos is $3.50. Nigel Amos and the Kenyan.
I don't think he's
Ferguson.
The favourite.
Ferguson's $2.
Yeah. Okay. He's the favourite.
Fergo.
I think Amos is a risk. Peter Bowl at $8. You'll get a run. And it'd be un-Australian not to be on him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dave, you know what? You're to blame for that, because the moment you mentioned harness racing and being out in the death, Fletch went straight to his app and he went, "This bloke knows a bit about the punt."
What about the Frenchie? What about Gabrielle?
Gabrielle
Toal.
Look, if I say he can't win, you know what's going to happen, don't you?
Well, he's $67.
No, he'll run a good race.
Okay.
He'll give good sight. If I'm writing up the form guide for him, he might give good sight.
Okay.
But he might also need the run. There's a few in here that might need the run.
Yeah, I like your form guide.
Here's a good stat for Peter Bowl, though. Here's a good stat for Peter Bowl. His last two runs have been on the track and at the distance, and he's broken the national record both times. And one of them was in the wet. So, you know, he's got all of those three things going for him.
Beautiful.
Yep, throw him in the slip there. By the way, what about this one? Talk me out of this one, will you, Dave? Delilah Muhammad in the women's 400-metre hurdles. Talk me out of that.
Won't win.
Oh!
Sydney McLaughlin.
Oh, fair enough.
Who'd you say? Sorry, mate.
Sydney McLaughlin broke the world record at the US trials. Muhammad's the defending champion, but McLaughlin's a young athlete who's got her measure. So the world record holder, what are they at the minute?
Round the ground, Fletch.
Stand by. What event?
No, the 400-metre hurdles.
No, I've got to go to the...
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
It's $1.30. So, Macca's...
Who's $1.30?
Sydney McLaughlin.
Yeah.
And Delilah, she's on the drift.
Mm.
She's $6.50.
Hey there, Delilah.
There you go. I've talked you out of that pretty quickly,
haven't
I?
Yeah, you did. Yep. Well, is there anything else you like? Have you spotted anything else in the mounting yard, Dave?
Well, I haven't been... Well, Mondo Duplantis will win the pole vault tonight. I know that much.
$1.10.
I've been having a look at Kelsey. Yeah. It is an event where things can go a bit sideways, but he'll be very difficult to beat. You want one where there's a bit of... I think the women's javelin's wide open. Andrzak, who's the Polish competitor, she's the favourite. She looked good in qualifying, but... Kelsey Lee Barber from Australia. We know that she can chuck the thing right out there. She's the world champion. She's probably at good odds, given her form's been scratchy. Wouldn't be the worst.
Righty-o. Well, Dave, we appreciate it. And if Deanna Price doesn't win the women's hammer throw, I don't know the women's hammer throw. There you go. $3.30.
No, I think she's the favourite there.
No. Anita is from Poland. Yeah. Anita Wolzaki.
Oh, Voldra. Volarchik.
Volarchik. $1.57. I'm on Anita.
Yeah.
No, you're going to need a new hammer throw after she wins.
They get a bit tight sometimes. No, I reckon Price is not without hope.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Dave, we know our stuff when it comes to women's hammer throw. Don't worry about that. Dave, great to chat, mate. We appreciate it.
No worries, gentlemen.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, champion fellow Dave Colbert. Of